Hasn't Grant facilitated immaculately during this weekend, friends? Let's give him a hand. I know you don't want it to be mentioned, Grant, but you're absolutely remarkable. You listen to God's voice, God's hands on you, honor you. Thank you for inviting us once again, and thank you for loving this house. Appreciate you. Thank you for pressing pause. Thank you for listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for allowing. I think one of your greatest gifts is to release gifts in people. We've said it before. Don't stop. Thank you, Grant. Charmaine, thank you. Love you. So, friends, the third time I'm sharing, and it's the third time that God has changed the message while I'm here. I don't know if you've heard that. Eventually, I said to the guys, don't even worry about my scriptures. I'm not going to use it. So, I could come here and say I've prepped for 3 weeks and God hasn't used it, but if I hadn't prepped for 3 weeks, I wouldn't have been able to hear His voice while I'm here. If you don't prep your heart and prep in the scriptures when you're in the secret place, God can't remind you in the public place. Delve in the scriptures in the secret place. I was so humbled last night. You know, a camp like this, nobody can put his fingerprints on it. Nobody can. It's Jesus' camp. And what stood out for me last night, and I said it to Gronsky afterwards, and he said to me, Eugene, share that this morning. Last night was like Jesus was handing over his ministry. That's fine. It didn't. Okay. It's fine, buddy. Thank you for helping me. Need all the help I can get. So it was last night. It wasn't just in the ordaining of the deacons. But did you see what happened last night? Some people came forward and it wasn't one man prophesying or two people prophesying. It was the council, the priesthood of believers functioning last night. That is what Jesus said. He didn't give his gifts or his ministry over to 12, to 7, not 220. Everybody that got saved, even the 5,000 men with their women, which is more than 5,000, He handed them his ministry over and said, come on, now you go and do, and greater things you will do that I've done. Why? When the Holy Spirit comes, we said it the first night, Jesus can be at every place, everywhere, all the time. When Jesus was walking this earth, he could be at one place at one time. He made the most of his place and he made the most of his time. When he commissions us, go and make disciples, make the most of your space where you are at that time. Make the most of your time. Don't waste it, friends. Jesus commissions us. A second thing that stood out for me last night is that God calls, but we only recognize. Can I say that again? God calls, we only recognize. We don't call. God calls. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine, Rory Dyer, called him onto eldership, Richard Olifir. And the first day, he was a Lions rugby player. The first day in the office, he went and sat behind his desk and he thought, okay, now. The second day he pitched, the third day he pitched, the fourth day he pitched, the fifth day he went to Rory and said, hey, Rory, you asked me to come onto eldership. What am I supposed to do? He says, well, let's understand something straight. Who called you? He said, God called me. He says, now why are you asking me what you must do? I just recognize you must be here. You see, who commissions us, friends? Jesus commissions us. It's his ministry. Yes, we have function in the church. We have elders. We have deacons. To guide us, we've got one another, so we can't just do our own thing. There's order when God functions, but it's the same Spirit. And the last thing that Grant said last night, which I so loved, is everything we spoke about is not prescriptive, it's reflective. It's not prescriptive, it's reflective. And I trust that everything that we shared during this time so far and what we're going to close with this morning, it's not a list. If I do this will be the result. It's for you to look at that list and say, Jesus, make it your own. What do you want to say through this? When you read God's word, read the full stops. Read the question marks, read the exclamation marks. Stop when you have to stop and don't move on until God's spoken to you about that verse or that piece or that word. Don't do that. Okay, friends, we're not going to be long this morning. We're going to be speaking about three people. Just briefly, I want to give you tools because every time we have, God speaks to us at a camp, what do we do from here? We're going to look at three people. We're going to look at Stephen. We're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at Philip. And through Philip, a eunuch got saved. That's what we're going to do. So those bookmarks that you have, if you lost your bookmark, there's more that I've got. Those, I believe, God has given us to remind you to go and read the book of Acts. Every time you see it, go and read the book of Acts. God will keep this commissioning alive in you. The church is built on the book of Acts. That's where the church started. So firstly, friends, we stopped last night with Acts 6 verse 7. And now the next verse, verse 8, starts with, now Stephen. And when I read now Stephen, I just stopped. I didn't read any further. And I thought about Stephen. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace, full of God's power, full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. That's the first thing. The second thing is, Stephen prayed what was in his heart when he was under pressure. How did he pray what was in his heart when he was under pressure? Because he did the homework behind the scenes. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God's grace. He was full of God's power and he was full of God's wisdom. So what came out of his mouth when he got stoned? No cursing, no swearing. What came out of his heart was full of grace, full of power, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. When we react when we're under pressure, what is in our heart is going to come out, not what's in our mind. So what do we do when we go from here? God's doing a work in each one of us and there'll be more camps and there'll be more meetings. Every time God fills us up a bit, but it is our task to say full of the Holy Spirit. It's our task to say full of grace, full of power and full of wisdom. Because we are going to face pressure in the workplace. You are going to face pressure as you drive home and people drive in front of you. What's coming out of your mouth is going to be what's in your heart. So what came out of Stephen's heart? I'm going to read, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 7, verse 55. Now Stephen got stoned. And as he got stoned, the following words came out of his mouth because he was full of the Holy Spirit. It says this, but Stephen, verse 55, 7 verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What is not Jesus? John 17 tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, we don't see Jesus seated. We saw Jesus standing. When you're under pressure, there is a reaction in the heavenlies that'll inspire you. Just look up. Just look up. Don't look to the ground. Colossians 3 says, don't look to the ground. In the Message Bible, it says, don't look around you. Look up. That's where the action is, around Christ. That's where your real life is. The real you is around Christ. Don't look down. Look up when you're under pressure. He said, look up, he said. I see heaven open and Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Laid their coats at the young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord, receive my spirit," which means, "Lord, I'm going to die." These words sound familiar. It sounds to me like the words Jesus prayed on the cross, isn't it? Receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. instead of cursing, instead of asking to stop stoning, he said, no, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Why? Because he was full of the Spirit, full of grace, full of wisdom, full of power. What was in his heart flowed out of his mouth. He says, when he had fallen asleep, 8 verse 1, and Saul approved of their killing. So there were more than one that were being killed that day, but Stephen was stoned that day. And we read that Saul was there. Friends, we know the story of Saul, of Saul. He became Paul. He met Jesus on Straight Street on the road to Patmos. And when he cried out to Jesus, and when he recognized that Jesus, who are you, Lord? Other places it said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Or what shall I do? When he recognized this Jesus, Jesus answered Stephen's prayer. And when Paul cried out, he answered Stephen's prayer, and he didn't hold Stephen's sin as Paul's sin against him. Yeah. Make sense? When we are under pressure, friends, and we cry out from our hearts, God hears our prayers. And the day that somebody calls on the name of the Lord or just recognize Jesus like Paul does, and they repent, he will not hold their sin against them. Up until from chapter 1 to chapter 12, it's all Peter, it's all Stephen, it's all the other guys. From chapter 13 up to 28, it's all Paul and Barnabas, Paul and everybody. Why? Lord, don't keep their sin against them. Yeah. Divine moment, friends. Divine moment. Get the Spirit in our hearts and people will get saved and they will change the world. Divine, friends. And then we read this. Let's go to Acts 17. Sorry. It's not Acts 17, friends. It's Acts 9 verse 17. Sorry about that. Acts 9 verse 17 says this. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What was Stephen filled with? With the Holy Spirit. Stephen prayed. Jesus met Saul on the road of Patmos. He didn't hold his sin against him. Now he doesn't only save him, but he fills him with the Holy Spirit. When we cry out, Lord, don't hold their sin against them, Jesus will do far more than we can ever ask for, even imagine. Filled him with his Holy Spirit. The next verse says this, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. He got up and was? He got up and was baptized. It's the first thing he did. Got up and was baptized. You see, sometimes we water baptize and then get filled with the Spirit. I got filled with the Spirit and only at the age of 8 and only at the age of 13 I got baptized. There's no pattern, there's no form. Why? Because Jesus saves. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Not Jesus plus water baptism, not Jesus plus communion, Jesus plus nothing. Jesus saves. Why do I get baptized? I just accept the word. Jesus got baptized, I get baptized. People get saved, they get baptized. I just accept the word. It's an outflow of what Jesus did within me. Why do I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way he could withstand temptation in the desert for 40 days. He was hungry. He was tired. But yet he stood. But the first thing, he got baptized. And after taking food, after he got baptized, after he had taken food, he regained his strength. After he got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got baptized. That's Paul's story. Stephen's story, Paul's story, Philip. Acts 8 verse 26, we'll turn there now. Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. Let's turn there. Acts 8, verse 26. You're staying with me, friends? It's okay. Acts 8, verse 26. Now, Philip is on his way somewhere else, and then it says, and now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met the Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran. He didn't walk. When the Spirit spoke to him, he ran. He said, he ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's one of the deacons. He had Jesus in his heart. He knew what the Spirit was. He had the Word of God in his heart. And he knew what Isaiah meant. And when he was called upon, the next verse says, not there yet. But it says, starting with that, we'll get there. But it says, starting with that exact same verse, Philip explained to him the gospel. If he didn't knew it, if he didn't spend quiet time, if he didn't have that scripture in his heart, he wouldn't have been able to explain it to the eunuch. You see, we've got to have the word in our hearts, friends. So when we go away from here, let's keep the word in our hearts. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humility, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of the descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He knew exactly what he was reading. He knew exactly where to start. He knew exactly where to take him. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, speaking about Jesus. He was like a lamb, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppressed and judgment, he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. He was speaking to a eunuch, friend, and those of us that don't know, maybe you've heard this before, but the eunuch couldn't have offspring. He couldn't reproduce. And he's lost his ability. So he understood what it was to be crushed because he was crushed. His way of reproduction was crushed. I'm trying to put this very mildly. But he understood crushing. You ask any man how it feels if you get kicked where you don't want to be kicked. How does it feel to be crushed? And he understood Jesus was crushed. And not only was he crushed, friends, it pleased the Father to crush him. Why? So that the Bridge Church can be on a camp and learn more about him. Get to know him because he's jealous for us. He was crushed. Crushed him. And caused him to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life a sin offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the Lord and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. So even though he was crushed, there will be offspring. Verse 12. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for transgressions. He bore the sins of many and made there we know. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for their transgressions, friends. That's what Jesus did for us. Let's just get back to my handwritten notes. There you go. So that was what Philip did. He went back to that scripture and explained exactly to him from that scripture. And then what it says. And then the Ethiopian eunuch, let's just get there. Where am I lost? I've lost the scripture. Verse 36. No, we're going back. Let's go back to Acts 8. Okay, Acts 8 verse, jeez, thank you, lovey. That's why I married you. That's why I married you. Jeez. There you go. When my iPad flips all up and down and I've made notes this morning at 4 o'clock, you must know. Okay, so after he explained it to him, Acts 8 verse 36 says this, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me, what stand in the way of my being baptized? What's then the way of my being baptized? Have we read anything of baptism? No. Has Philip explained to him about baptism? No. Has Philip explained to him about the Holy Spirit? No. All that Philip did, he told him the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we go away from here, just continue to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people will get saved. People will ask to be baptized. People will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just preach Jesus. Verse 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So they came to a place, water there, got out into the water. He got baptized, and this is what happened. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. He wasn't even worried about it, but went on his ways rejoicing. You see, friends, it wasn't about Philip. If it was about Philip, the eunuch would have said, where's my hope? Where's the person that explained it to me? How am I going to proceed now? It was never about Philip. It was always about Jesus. Philip was just being the vessel at that moment. And when his job was done, the Spirit removed him. And that guy was not left alone. He said he went away, on his way, rejoicing. So this morning, I'm going to close. I think we've said what is need to be said this weekend, Grant. I think Jesus has done his work. I summarize like this. When we go away from here, friends, stay full of the Holy Spirit and stay in prayer, people will get saved and people will get baptized. And our second victory statement, if you want to fill the scripture in, comes from Acts 9 verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in number. How did they increase in number? They were strengthened. They stayed living in the fear of the Lord and they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The Bridge Church, stay in the Holy Spirit. Just continue to preach Jesus. Stay full. Stay full of power. Stay full of wisdom in Jesus' mighty name. And I want to ask you now, if there's anybody that accepted the word and want to get baptized, we've got one already, eh, Grant? If there's two already. If there are more that want to get baptized this morning, now is your moment. Just accept the word. Three. There you go. God bless you, my boy. God bless you, my boy. Anybody else that want to get baptized this morning? Anybody else? Anybody else? There's no pressure. It's a decision of the heart. We're going to baptize you. God bless you. Thank you for this moment, Grant. I don't know what's the arrangement from here. We're going to go there. But I'm going to pray for you. Okay. I'm going to pray. Father, keep open your hands. Please open your hands. It's just a sign of surrender. Father God, this is your word. Friday night, we ask that you will make this word alive within us. You have filled our hands. You have filled our thoughts. You have filled our hearts with this word over this weekend. And this morning, we just want to say thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are faithful. Jesus, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that your word is alive and that your word is well and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I pray, Father God, as we sit with our open hands, we asked on Friday night that you'll wipe the table clean and you place on the table what you want us to see this weekend that gives us a new trajectory for our future and the season we're walking in. Father, you've done that. You've started that or you continued that this weekend. And we want to ask that as we sit with our hands open now, won't you continue to place your word in our hearts? As you gave some of us scripture this morning, Father, and we came and shared, won't you give us scripture every day? This morning you gave a scripture to Ina out of Psalm 71 that was a prophetic word out of your word without anybody else giving a prophetic word today. You gave her a prophetic word out of Psalm 71 for her life. I pray that prophetic words will jump out at people from your word, King, because you are prophetic. We're a prophetic people. I pray, Father, that we'll never lose the joy of our salvation. That we'll run and not grow weary, that we'll walk and not grow faint, that we'll soar, Father God, because of your kindness and your grace and your mercy over us. I pray, and as we're even going to baptize people now, Holy Spirit, won't you come and fill us again? I pray as you work in hearts at this moment, thank you for being faithful, King. Thank you for your joy and your presence upon us. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray for the Bridge Church. I pray for every single promise and prophecy and thought that you have over this church that it'll be fulfilled. I pray that you'll move people, that you'll bring people, that you'll shake, that you do whatever you need to do, Father, but that not one word of your word that is spoken over this church will turn back void. Not one word. Not one word. Thank you, King. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.